Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Anne, and Melissa. We are Rosalind Reynolds, myself, Ivory Lanoue, Terri-Anne Russell, and Melissa Brace, who's not with us. We actually have a couple of new people, Maggie Anderson, and we have Joe. We're so happy to have you with us. You'll be meeting them shortly. We have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where we see clients from all over the world. Today's topic is forgiving yourself. And I thought this was a good one because people go through a whole lot of work of forgiving their parents, forgiving their friends, forgiving their bosses. And then they forget that crucial piece, forgiving yourself. So why would somebody want to forgive themselves? Why would that be important?
You can really mess yourself up. You don't get yourself all turned around.
I did for a long time, honestly. I blame myself, especially as a parent. I had my daughter when I was 20. I just barely had turned 20. And I did things I wouldn't do knowing what I know now, but I didn't know what I know now. So for years, I really beat myself up. But like I would think about those things, those moments when I was a not so great parent, though I tried so hard. And I really like felt like I dropped the ball in some way. And I finally came to a place where I realized I'm not who I was at 20 or 25 or 30. I'm not even who I was in my 50s. We all are growing so much that we have to like, I had to finally come to a place where I looked back on myself as a young parent with forgiving eyes, with more loving eyes, and telling myself, you know, nobody ever expected you to be perfect. You know, I was in that ridiculously toxic marriage and he purposely moved us away 100 miles from my family. So I didn't have my mom there or any family support, and I didn't have a vehicle. He would take the vehicle to work. So I was really isolated. And so I really didn't have a whole lot of assistance with any of this. I felt very isolated. So that's just like probably one of the big ones for me where I realized I needed to be nicer to myself.
And that's something I think that we're not taught ever. We're always, especially as empaths, we always give to everybody else and we're so nurturing to everybody else. But when it comes to ourselves and extending that gratitude or forgiveness to ourselves, it's very difficult to do. If you grew up not understanding what that meant or what that looked like, or you felt guilty for, you know, taking time for yourself or doing something like that, it can be very difficult then to step into that space of forgiveness for yourself.
Absolutely. And one thing I like to tell people is that if you are having trouble with this concept, one thing you can do is say, what would somebody who loves me say to me about this? If I told them that I was beating myself up about something that happened where I was less than perfect, some mistake I made, regret I have, what would they say to me? Somebody who loves you and is kind, not somebody who loves you and is unkind, because what you want to hear is a loving expression of a way to look at this and then take those words into your heart and into your head.
I think you have to have a reasonable expectations of yourself too. I mean, we've talked about, you know, all three of us have some aspects of what I would describe as type A personality. Very driven, very focused on figuring things out, being successful, moving forward. We always have kind of like our agenda, you know, our list of priorities that we're moving on. And of course, we have two Aries and a Virgo here. So you can, yeah, don't need to say anymore. But I think realistically, when you start reaching maturity a little bit more, That's when you really have to say, you know, I have to realize that I'm not going to be perfect in everything I do. And as soon as you can kind of come to some form of acceptance with that, you have a little more tolerance for yourself and you have to be real. And I spend a lot of time from, you know, communications and things I did when I was young, where I always had to apologize to people because I was just like a fireball, you know, and I would, you know, say and do things, not meaning an intent of harm or not, you know, trying to push necessarily myself or other people, but it just happens. And you have to really look at that and, you know, be able to forgive yourself so that you can apologize and, you know, restructure how you're handling things. And it's hard. It's very hard. I was so driven. I mean, I look back and I just think, oh my gosh.
I want to wind that back even further, Roz, and say, we need to come to a place where we realize perfection doesn't exist. You know, it really doesn't. We can do our best. We can make it as good as possible, but sometimes we run out of ideas or time or money. And all those things, we tend to be in short supply and we can only do what we can do with what we have. And so I think that we have to come to a place where we say, it's not perfect, but it's good. It's the best I can make it. I'm going to let it go. That was hard for me. Yes, I know, being a Virgo and all of that, that was hard, but I still want to make things as good as I can, but I more easily do come to that place where I say enough, it's time to move on. And because we all do have plans and we all are always thinking about the future, here's what we're doing today and we're focused today, but in the back of our mind is like, we know where we're headed. If we keep focusing on the past, how can we ever move forward?
Yeah. And it's hard sometimes, isn't it? We've talked about this several times. It's really difficult. Those old conditioned beliefs and thoughts, you know, being a perfectionist, I think I read somewhere that being a perfectionist, like you can never attain what you're wishing to attain because it's never going to be perfect enough to you as a perfectionist. And that really hit home to me because I was like, wow, that's so, I never thought about it from that side of view, looking at it from that aspect. So it was like, that really hit home to me. Like, it's never going to be what I expect it to be because I expect such a high bar when it comes to certain things. So those kind of old conditioned beliefs, thought patterns, those can all be changed through energy work, through the work that we do. Just, you know, sometimes just even acknowledging that you're a perfectionist is stepping into that space, right? And then you're like, oh, wow, like now I can see it from another side.
And I know for me, like I realized in my 30s that I had a tendency to get bogged down in the details. And it was very difficult to actually get something off the ground because I felt like those preparation details were not quite perfect enough. And so you can actually get frozen in the details. So it's a little bit of every day. It's not just about looking at the big things in your life, the big things you feel are mistakes or regrets, but every day, like coming to a place where you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to forgive myself that I'm running out of time and I'm going, this is the best I can get. And I'm going to let it go and I'm going to move on to the next thing. So it's these little moments of self-forgiveness as well. I know a lot of people, when I talk to them about this, honestly, they never had thought about forgiving themselves. Seemed to be a whole new concept. I do it on a regular basis. Go ahead, Roz.
I think a lot of it also has to do, of course, with the environment you're raised in. I was raised in a, you know, an environment where I was expected to be, you know, the tippy top, straight A, best of everything. And there was a lot of pressure to be that. So, of course, I mean, striving for that, especially as I started getting older, I really started to notice that you know, I would be so frustrated with myself if I didn't achieve the 100% goal. And I became very religious when I was in middle school and high school. I was what used to be called a Jesus freak. And that, I think that helped me a lot, because you wanna be perfect in everything you do, but you have to realistically understand that, you know, as a human, that's just not going to happen. So you have to learn to be kind and to, you know, understand that while we're doing everything we possibly can, we are not a magician. So, of course, my subjects of pure annoyance in high school, math, geometry, etc., any of those things, you know, I mean, I could have striven to the very tippy top end, and I never would have been perfect at that. So ironic that, you know, I've ended up in so many situations in my life where I'm doing math all the time. I think that might have been a little wake up call, like, hey, you know, you can do it. But it takes looking at yourself, I think, with a little bit of a different eye when you get into that forgiveness mode.
It does. And I think that goes hand in hand with judgment. So if you find that if you are blaming yourself, if you're really focusing in on blaming yourself for something you did in the past, something you didn't do right, you did too much, not enough, you're judging yourself, which makes me come to a place where I would think, I wonder if I'm judging others too, because if you're hard on yourself, you might be hard on others. So I think that you can find some relief from that by forgiving yourself and accepting that you are less than perfect, that we're all just mere humans, right? We're trying to learn our lessons and be better and do good and make it through this lifetime, but we're going to make a lot of mistakes. So don't judge yourself either. You know, nobody likes to be judged. So why would you want to do that? There's plenty of negative people out there who'll do it for you. If you want to put that out there, please, can somebody judge me? Oh my goodness. You're going to find a whole lot of that, but don't do it to yourself. It's like aiming a gun of negative energy right at yourself.
Agreed. But also I think, you know, we live in a culture where that has become pretty standardized and acceptable to be judgmental, to, you know, be constantly finding fault in others. And of course, you know, you expand that back to yourself. So,
and you know, a lot of that has to be about social media, because think about it, when there's actually a movie out about this that came out a few years ago that we're kind of scarily getting close to, where you go through your life and everyone's holding their cell phone and everyone you interact with, you immediately rate each other and your credit rating is attached to it. And it's kind of scary, like how things are getting with social media. Look what it's doing to the youth of the world. When you have an ability to go on and say, I like you, I like your words, I like your thoughts, or I don't like them, I hate them, and leave comments that are anonymous or at least detached so that you're not face to face with a person, it's easier to be mean, easier to be judgmental. I think that it promotes those negative qualities in society and makes people less forgiving, whether it's of others or themselves. So I think that's a good place to start. That's why I always have said, I think forgiveness is one of the lessons children should learn in grade school. If they learned it in grade school, I think we'd have a kinder society, being more fair towards one another, more compassionate. And I know there's a lot of non-parenting going on, because I have a lot of friends and clients who are teachers, and they tell me about the kind of things kids are coming to class not knowing. So I think that there's just a whole lot of people being raised without knowing about these kind of things, like not judging, forgiving others, why it's important. People instead want to hold some sort of grudge.
And I think children, and, you know, they become desensitized to it. You know, we didn't grow up with that type of social media or cell phones. Even my sons, who were, you know, late 20s, cell phones just started coming out. So my daughter now, you know, it's very, and my stepdaughter, very active on their phones all the time, right? And so you think you can say things that, you know, are no big deal because you're just saying them to like a phone. It's not really a person. And I've always tried to explain, but there's a person behind that. So, you know, you want to think about, Sophia and I just did a fable for one of her classes about extending kindness to others. Like, how would you treat somebody, you know, the way you want to be treated? So, you know, we talked about that. But going back to that, they become desensitized. It's like they're just able to think that they can say and do what they want because it doesn't really matter. So I think that, you know, you touched on it, like being able to teach that in schools, being able to teach meditation in schools. I think the younger you start with children, the better off you are, because, you know, the children, especially now that are coming in, are highly sensitive. So they're more open to all of these things that we always talk about that maybe, you know, we were, but we didn't understand it.
Good point.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, we have to be, we kind of have to look at the bigger picture. One thing I think social media does, I mean, we're getting information from all over the world, but it still comes down to these little microcosms, kind of little micro visions. Oh, this person said this, oh, this person. And the tweet thing, oh my gosh, the tweet thing's just amazing. You know, I've never really participated on that, but just some of the things people think it is okay to say on Twitter is pretty mind-boggling, really. And now we have all of the people going kind of crazy while they're flying. You know, I have to tell you, I think flying could make me crazy really easy, you know, because you're in a confined space, you've got all these people around you. It's very intense energy. People are nervous, et cetera, et cetera. But wow, people are totally whacking out right now. And looking at that, you know, and looking at back at this sense of judgment that, you know, we're talking about society having, well, it doesn't seem like anybody's following any kind of rules of order or pleasant, you know, mannerly behavior when they get on an airplane anymore. It's pretty nuts. So I think we have to, you know, we have to realistically look at our morals, look at our, you know, behavioral patterns, what's socially acceptable, what's not, and get a little more real. And, you know, judge, if you're going to judge, I mean, judge from the perspective of what is normal, quote, what is normal behavior?
For who?
You know, in reference to just, you know, being kind to people, forgiving other people, being understanding if, you know, somebody's having a bad day, somebody's having a bad year, you know, life is hard. Let's have some forgiveness for them and for us too.
That whole thing about airplanes, Roz, like I can be very forgiving of babies crying, and I actually feel such compassion for the parents having been there. I can feel compassion for somebody being air sick. I can't feel compassion for somebody putting their dirty feet up right next to my feet, like move my face, putting them between the seats or up on the back of my headrest, you know, like things like this, like, no. So I think that you're right about the, you know, just to have some polite behavior would be helpful. But I want to talk about something. All of us at our business are healers. I mean, that's not all we do, but well, Terri Ann is focused on healing, but we all do healing. And so when you're doing healing work on people and you're an empath, you feel the pain that they carry in their heart chakra. And it's not even that I try to feel it, but as an empath, when I have a client in front of me or on the phone or on Skype, whatever, if they're carrying that in there, I'm going to feel it and I'm going to feel the extent. So the point being that just about everybody's carrying pain in their heart chakra. And that means that there's forgiving they haven't done. They haven't let go of grudges and slights, you know, bitterness, disappointments, betrayals, all of these things. I mean, even if it's something really awful, at some point, for your sake, you need to forgive that, but forgive yourself for this. Forgive yourself for having gotten involved in a toxic relationship. Forgive yourself for having stayed longer than you knew you should. Forgive yourself for letting people mistreat you. Forgive yourself for not being a perfect spouse, a perfect parent. Forgive yourself for not living up to your parents' expectations in pursuit of your own dreams. There's many, many things there that we're carrying around in our heart chakra. And I'll tell you, like, there's plenty of studies out there that if you carry that kind of pain around inside you and you don't release it, at some point it starts to affect you physically. So I know that it's a big deal. This is not some woo-woo. We're not woo-woo people. We actually are pretty tuned into science and studies. Look it up. You'll find out. What were you going to say, Terri Ann?
Just that people sometimes when they come in, they have this guard up, right? Because they're used to being guarded. So even though we can feel it, they're like, no, everything's fine. I don't have any pain in my life. and within a few minutes of being with me, they're usually in tears and crying and they don't understand, like, why? How did this lady get my guard down? This guard was up, but she couldn't see nothing. so we laugh about it at the end because they come in with this guard. They want to be guarded. They don't want to look at that area. You know, the pain, the suffering, the angst, for whatever it is that happened in their life. And so a lot of us do walk around with this guard. We hold it all in, and that ends up making your heart chakra be closed off. I feel like if you can't be vulnerable with yourself and be vulnerable with others, you know, you hold on to whatever it is. And it could cause that physical, that mental, that emotional illness within you. So I think it's really important. And right now, I feel like where we're going, everyone is like looking for that. Like, what is it? Why is this coming up now? What's driving this in me that I need to look at this or bring it up again and actually heal it? Because where we're going, I don't think we can bring all this baggage that we've been carrying around.
Absolutely not. Yeah, you can't raise your frequency. You cannot become enlightened and be dragged down by these very low frequency emotions, which you're carrying within, and it affects your frequency to carry it in your frequency. But another thing about that too is I think that people get so used to carrying pain inside of them. They've shut that door. Like you, Terri Ann just said, you know, they're not even aware that they're carrying this pain. I think they are on some level, but they don't want to feel it. And so it's easier to pretend it's not there anymore. They don't want to think about the people they love who've passed that's painful. They don't want to think about marriages that are broken up that they didn't want to break up, or, you know, children who are estranged from them, all of these things, or maybe that they can't get a job. You know, I remember the first time that I realized my age was a factor in getting a job. And that's when I realized, okay, I have to be self-employed. I'm nowhere near ready to stop working, but I forgave that. I forgave society for being like that. And I forgave myself for letting myself be boxed in for about 2 years and thinking I had to work for somebody else. Why? You know, so there's a lot of things in our life that forgiving yourself can free you. It frees you to expand personally, spiritually. It frees you to raise your frequency. And if you listen to our show, you know that that is like the cornerstone of spirituality. It's the cornerstone to rising above the things you don't like in society, in yourself, in the world. It's the key to creating a world that's a better place. It all starts with each one of us raising our frequency. So that's just another reason to really start focusing on how you might, things you might need to forgive yourself for. I do have one thing I wanted to share, and I'm going to do it before I forget. I have to go to my website for a moment here. And this is actually a forgiveness prayer. It's on my website, ivoryangelicmedium.com, under resources. And it's the forgiveness prayer. It's actually written by Roberta Herzog, who's passed on. And this, I'm going to tell you what it is and you can look it up as well, but I've used this to forgive people for things a lot of people might think are unforgivable. And it's worked where I just don't care about them anymore. And I think that's a lovely relief of a place to be. So when you rise in the morning and again, before you go to bed at night for at least 10 to 14 days, you just sit quietly or lie down with your eyes closed and picture in your mind's eye the soul you wish to forgive, the person, see their face, see them with a smiling, happy expression on their face. Then you say this prayer out loud to that soul. And let's say the person's name is David. David, I forgive you for everything you've ever said or done to me in thought, word, or deed that has caused me pain in this or any other lifetime on all levels and in all dimensions. You are free and I am free. And David, I ask that you forgive me for anything I have ever said or done to you in thought, word, or deed in this or any other lifetime that has caused you pain. You are free and I am free. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to forgive David and to forgive myself. Now, when I first did this, like somebody that I knew had made me aware of this, so I already had it on my website. And when I needed this, I was dubious that it was going to free me from the pain I was in. It was right before I met you, Raz. And I did this for 2 weeks. I actually came to Sedona. I was living in Cave Creek at the time. Came to Sedona, stayed at a resort, and I asked them, put me as far away from other people as possible. And I'm thinking, because I'm going to be sobbing a lot, and I don't want people complaining about the noise. And I started doing this forgiveness prayer every morning, every night, and I was just sob, tears were just pouring down my face, and I was sobbing, and it felt like my heart was going to just curl up, turn black, and die in my chest. You know, it was awful. Just could barely get the words out. But every day it was a little bit easier, a little bit easier. And I knew I was healed when I could say those both morning and night. I could say that forgiveness prayer. And I knew I meant it. Like I felt true peace inside. And I felt that I was, the cord was cut with that person and that situation where the worst of it was over for me. And I could forgive myself for letting myself get involved with a person that clearly wasn't good for me, that clearly didn't have my best interest at heart, that was dark. And just, you know, for all the crazy reasons I might have had to ignore that and push on trying to help this person, I forgave myself. You know, I cannot stop being a light worker. I cannot stop loving people and caring about people and having great compassion, but I can get wiser. And so when I did the forgiveness prayer, I was cleared enough that I could really look at the situation and see my part in it really well and start formulating a plan to avoid getting into a cycle of that happening again. And it's been working great. So that's all I want to say about that.
I think that now it's really good to bring that up, because I think that women, and this is a cultural thing in our society, we are always taught to be the compassionate one, the forgiving one, the one who makes all the adjustments, the one who bends over. Now, in the younger generations of women, there are a lot of women who are not like that. I don't know that I was like that. I don't really think I was. But the bottom line here is, for either gender, when it's one thing to forgive yourself and forgive that other person, and I really love that prayer. It's just beautiful. But, you know, at the same time, we have to be realistic about how we got there. And that's what I like about how, you know, you're describing your approach that you had to this, to really do self-healing, but to really realize, hey, I can't get in this kind of situation again. I have to be setting boundaries for myself, forgive myself, forgive others. But yeah, I have to be on a different path with this. And that's not always, you know, discussed about when we go into practice of forgiveness, but it's important. It's really important to realize that some of the choices that you made at the time, you know, you forgive yourself looking back on them, but you also have to move forward, not go back into those situations. And I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Hello.
We have. And, you know, I want to say first that that's all great points, Roz. And I think that we have to also realize once we kind of clear ourselves emotionally from those painful things that have been bothering us about ourselves, we can see that we probably wouldn't be the person we are now if we hadn't had that experience. And I truly believe that because I know I would not be here right now. We wouldn't have Sedona Soul Sisters. I wouldn't know Roz or Terry Ann or Melissa, or I would not have moved to Sedona if I hadn't gone through that really painful, toxic relationship. It almost destroyed me, but almost, it did not, it almost did. But what it did was like, I could rise from the ashes like a phoenix. And I was just so driven to like get the message out there and do my spiritual work full time and help as many people as I could and put together a business with people that are very much light workers and have their hearts in the right place. And we have done that. And the other thing is that all of us, with the work we do, we encounter so many people who are in what we call relationship cycles. So it can be just in this lifetime, and it can also be something often that came from past lives as well, where we are repeating a pattern. Perhaps we're repeating a pattern where we get into abusive relationships, we let them abuse us, we take it, we stay way too long, and then we break up, and then we're attracted to someone else that seems totally different, but then they end up having very similar traits. That's a relationship cycle. There's other kind of cycles other than that, but I'm just focusing on that right now. Trying to break that for yourself, I think, requires the forgiveness work. You know, I forgive myself for making dumb choices. I forgive myself for putting other people's importance way above my own. I forgive myself for getting lost in someone else's ego. You know, I really, it's like choices I made on a day-to-day basis that I would not make now. And that's the important thing. I wouldn't make them now. I've grown. I really see a bigger picture. I value myself higher. Not egotistical, just knowing I'm as important as the people in my life. What I need, you know, taking care of myself. If you're not going to take care of yourself, who will? Forgiving yourself is part of that.
Yeah. And to piggyback on that, you know, when you're looking at that stuff, you're creating that space then, right? You're doing the work, you're opening up those wounds that you don't want to look at. But when you do, you're clearing out that heaviness, that stagnant energy that we talk about. And so then you're able to actually go in and create new experiences for you. Because like you said, you're not living today. You're not that person that you were then. So now you're a totally different person because of the work that you've done. And I think it's important for people to understand that when you clear out all that heavy stuff that you've been holding on to, new opportunities, new experiences, new people, they come into your life. And sometimes, you know, it's necessary for you to do that work so that you can get there, but it is difficult to do it.
And I think another thing that ties in so importantly with this topic is regrets. It doesn't matter how old you are, that don't ever think it's too late for, I mean, maybe you may reach an age where it's too late for you to climb Mount Everest, too late for you to be a professional downhill skier, but a lot of things, it's not too late. So, or too late to maybe take your dream you had and go in a slightly different direction that you can do. But the point is that I see a lot of people who feel like they threw their life away on a relationship that didn't value them, or they threw their life away on something like, okay, this is something that's been coming up, being depressed. And they really blame themselves. Oh my gosh, you know, I'm tired all the time. I'm not the best wife. I'm not the best parent. Forgive yourself. You're dealing with something very real. You're dealing with something that's hard. to overcome, to even come to terms with or find a way to live with that. So it, you know, it's not easy, and reasonable people know that. Reasonable people get it, even if they don't have that particular issue. So I wanted to get back on this, like the regret thing. I did think for a while that, oh my gosh, you know, I've been in mental health field so long. I know my angels wanted me to do spiritual work full time, but I didn't think I was going to be able to do it because I was coming up on 50 years old. And then suddenly, you know, everything kind of imploded and I started studying. I was just driven to, just like the angels are like, took me to my mentor's website. And she turned out to be like a mile and a half away from my house. That is not a mistake, you know? So, and then I was just, once that was there, I was just like driven and I had a plan and I knew I was going to do it. But I tell my clients, like I was 53 when I realized that I was a medium. That's so crazy to me. Like I was seeing spirit and angels and talking to them my whole life. And I never, ever connected that to being a medium till that epiphany moment. So when you're supposed to know something, you'll know it. So don't beat yourself up about that either. If you're interested in developing your intuitive skills, if you're interested in seeing what gifts you have or doing something of service, it's not too late. So forgive yourself that you waited long, but honestly, I don't even think there's anything to forgive because the truth is the timing wasn't right. In everything in divine time, right, Roz?
Absolutely. That's one of my mantras, I swear. Because if there was ever anyone who was always pushing to get it here sooner, it was me. So that's been one of the huge lessons in my life. And I just wanted to mention, I think for a lot of people, my partner Ed taught me about the Ho'oponopono, like the philosophy of it and looking at it. And, you know, we really don't have much time left, so not going to go into it. You can look it up online, but it's an incredible approach to self-forgiveness and to forgiveness of everything that you deal with your judgment, your outlook, it's a pretty powerful prayer. And I feel like, you know, that was one of the big lessons of my life in the last decade, was to think about, okay, let's take forgiveness to this other level. I love you. I bless you. I release you. You're not carrying any baggage with that. You're not trying to put anything on anybody else. You're just working with the frequency of love. And it's very powerful.
That's my other favorite. And Roz, because that's a hard one to spell, I'll put a link to that in the show description.
Oh, good.
On all the major podcasts and on our YouTube channel so you can find it, because it is a really good one too.
You must have intuited that.
You must have. I think that it's important to find what works for you. I mean, you know, I like the forgiveness prayer. I love this one too. But find what works for you, what releases the pain from your heart, what makes you feel lighter and brighter and like you're free to move ahead and do it.
And, you know, every day I always, you know, I'm in prayer in the morning when I'm first waking up, and every day is a new day. Every day is a new beginning. If you don't like something that, you know, was going on yesterday, it's a new day today. It's new energy, new frequency. You know, think about love, kindness to yourself, and then share it with everybody else.
I agree, Roz. There's something I say every night right before I start my prayers and distance healing for people, and that is, God, help me be a better person tomorrow than I was today. And it's not about striving for perfection. It's about trying to leave my character flaws behind, trying to be more patient, trying to be less stressed, trying to be more kind, trying to be more forgiving, all of those things that we as humans can drop the ball every day in some way. And I was every morning I'm listening to spiritual podcasts because I love to start the day with that as I'm getting ready. And there's one I've been listening to lately, real sweet girl. And she has a a show, a podcast show that's really honoring Dr. Wayne Dyer. And it's, I think it's called Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life is the name of her podcast. And she was talking about this very topic and how important this is. So there's a bunch of shows out there and you can get a whole lot of different input, of different ways of hearing it and find what works for you. But I like to just try to be a better person every day. It's as simple as that.
That's a great goal.
The other thing has been forgiving myself for my health issues. I would get very angry with myself and I feel like it's holding me back and I get mad at myself because I've had serious health issues since I was 5 and it started with my lungs. And that was very bad all through childhood with asthma and allergies and particularly asthma. And I get so mad. Like, I really think I hated my body for betraying me, for not making it so hard to breathe a good deal of the time. Like, I couldn't go outside and play with the other kids certain times of the year. I'd have to just watch them. And I'd be in this room with a vaporizer propped up in a sitting position, trying to breathe, sounding like Darth Vader. And it was really bad. So it came to a point where I had to forgive myself that I didn't ask for this. I came into this, you know, very early age. It just started up. And it's not like I said, hey, God, you know what? Can you give me some really bad asthma and some other health issues and pile those on as the years go by? I did not ask for that, but I'm learning to forgive myself. And one way that I do that, if there's anybody out there that's dealing with a lot of health issues, is I learned this a long time ago and it kind of just popped back into my head where you go down your whole body and you're like, I love my head. I love my face. I love my neck. I love my chest. I love my stomach. I love my thighs. I love my butt. I love my legs, you know, just every little part of your body, because it is about coming to grips with just truly accepting who you are. And this is nothing about body image, body size. I couldn't care less, but it is about accepting you, your body, and everything that goes along with it, which is a form of a forgiveness of yourself, that this is part of your life.
And that's very important. That's really important to realize that, you know, we come here, many of us arrive here, we have the health challenges that we have, you know, whatever's going on with that, however those get assigned, but we have to learn to accept and then love and then move forward with whatever our situation is.
Or you're choosing to be trapped and stay right where you are in every regard. So I always say that we have to be our own hero. We have to save ourselves many times in our life. Nobody else can do it for us and they can support us as we save ourselves. But we've all been through dark nights of the soul, all of us here, more than one, right, ladies?
Yes.
And you have to crawl out of that hole. And you know, there's community to help you. There's tribes to help you. Reach out to them if that's where you are. But it really does start with forgiving yourself and building up your strength. If you have questions or comments about today's show, we're always welcome to send us an email. That's in the show description. I don't recommend you put your question into the YouTube question area because for some reason they just disappear before like a day or two has even gone by. Tune in next Friday when our topic is Sirians. So it's the first of the month again. So we're going to be talking about another alien race, and this time it's the Sirians. So if you're into that kind of thing, join us live here. You can ask your questions or tell your stories. If you have something to add about that topic, we'd love to have you here with us live. And otherwise, thank you for watching. Thank you for following the show. We appreciate all of you, and we hope that you have an enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.